Yeah.
Because he'll just
pee. Oh, they're fantastic against elves, full stop.
Yeah, they dash, I mean, obviously, they run in and re-roll everything, don't they? So it's like, yeah, but
well, you've got to catch him in a flank. You can't run him in head on and stuff. But three attacks each, and they've got hatred as well, so you get your re-rolls, which negates your crap weapon skill to some extent. Now, I do like them. Again, they've got the same problem that a lot of stuff in the special section's got, is it's good, but there's better stuff in other sections, so I never end up taking it.
Yeah, they're competing heavily against your gutter runners and your plague monks for points.
Yeah.
And that is your thing, because plague monks get so many things. I think one of the big changes for the next books, we're going to see a massive plague sensor bearer upgrade and a massive synergy bonus for taking in with plague monks.
Yeah, but I like plague sensors, so they're not the best, but they're definitely an attractive option.
They're fluffy. They're good against Empire and dwarfs and orcs and undead. But other than that, you're probably going to struggle a bit.
I still think they're decent against elves, and they're a bit too expensive. These are one of the units that I was kind of talking about earlier. That there's, you know, some of the stuff in this book isn't as good as it used to be. Like slaves are nowhere near as good as they used to be because of mass attacks you get from stuff. But then there's kind of more and more stuff coming in out of special that now I'm looking at plague bearers in the review and thinking, you know, I could make use of some of them. A cheap unit, you take a unit of 5, it's only 80 points. Well, you can use them as a chaff unit. You know, if they die, they die. It's not end of world.
But they do have the potential to do some...
I've started taking Globadiers for the same reason, that they're still cheap enough... I don't care if they die, and they do something else.
Globadiers other than work.
Just die. Yeah, no, it all works. So yeah, so plague sensor. Hello.
Are you there?
I am. Yeah.
Yeah, you were saying plague sensor bearers are out as chaff, and have to go through it to get to you.
I think there's a use for them as chaff. I don't think there's a point in taking 20.
No. No, there really isn't, because they're just going to kill each other and kill the enemy, and it'll be over soon. I mean, does the gas tech count as magical? I can't remember.
I think it does, yeah.
Oh, that's a shame. World dragons are just going to go... Ew.
In fact, I think they're all magical attacks, because I think the plague sensor attacks are magical as well. So, yeah, they're not going to be great against white lions, but they're probably not going to stand. They're probably not going to be getting many attacks in against elves anyway.
Most people are dropping white lions anyway now. They're swapping them to Swordmasters. From what I've seen anyway.
For extra attack. Yeah.
Well,
the nice thing with white lions is stubborn.
Yeah, white lions are stubborn, but when they run up against dwarfs, they just get shot to bits, and then when they get into combat, armorers charge them, and then they get annihilated because armorers have got 2 attacks each.
Yeah, I can see that.
So, yeah, that makes things a bit easier for us if they're not stubborn. It makes life a little simpler.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, this is always a problem, is that I can generally put enough crap together that I can go into a unit and make it take a break test. And I'm breaking the steadfast. But, yes, and then it's stubborn and I wasted my time and I get ground out.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, so Plague Sensor Bearers. Then we've got Jazael's up next. So they've got Clanrat stat line, 20 points each, 4 up save and 2 attacks, which is always kind of amusing. There, if you keep them around, you know, right back near your cannon, they can charge whatever's coming in to get your cannon, and they actually tend to do all right in combat, which tends to surprise people. You know, they just think, oh, it's a missile unit, they'll be useless, but they're actually not that bad.
Oh, God, is it still on? Some years back, I did a bit of a Skyrim guide for the Under Empire, and I concluded that units of 3 of these, possibly with a champion if you can afford the points, were fairly okay, because you'd get one good shot off, which usually scares the hell out of people. And especially with people going back to small unit sizes now, these become far more effective.
Yeah, definitely. Units of knights, even units. Well, I was looking at them, and I mean, the big problem with them is the ballistic skill. But you can't move and shoot, so you don't take a modifier for that. They've got 36-inch range, so a hell of a lot of time you're in short range, so you're not taking a modifier for that. So they're not that, you know, they're usually hitting on fives. Fours if you're lucky. But I kind of worked out, I think if you have a unit of six, you reliably take a wound a turn off a Demon Prince. You know, one-up armor Demon Prince. Which, yeah, all right, don't kill him outright. It's not as spectacular as hitting him with a cannon. But he's got to think about it. You know, he's only got four wounds. And there's plenty of stuff like that. Big monsters, big, you know, knight units. There's plenty of stuff that just chip away, chip away, chip away. They're sat at back. They're pretty safe. And eventually you can take stuff down with them. Yeah, again, with, you know, it's another unit of kind of, they're getting better as more stuff gets heavy armor. And yeah, I think there's certainly use from, you know, stuff like Dark Elf characters. You know, one-up armor save, comes running around on his own on his Dark Steed. He ain't going to be doing a lot of that if there's a unit of Giselle's around, because he can't take that risk. No, Scar Vets, got to stay in the units, can't come charging out because they can't take risk at Giselle's. So, yeah, I think they're a viable unit. Again, they miss out because they're better choices, but they're another unit who I think are underrated.
Well, I think they'll either, when they do this change, they'll either get a mega upgrade or they'll stay as they are and they'll probably drop to 15 points. And I think at 15 points, people would take them.
At 15 points, they'd be amazing. To be honest, I think a lot of reason you don't see more of them now is not really because of the points cost, it's because of the models cost. That the, what are they, is it 18 quid for three?
Really?
They're stupidly overpriced. Wow. You got a box of three fine cast ones. They're just ludicrously overpriced.
I'm so glad I've got 10 in my office.
Yeah, I've got six, and I'd like another six. But what you can do, I've got a mate who's got some. He's somebody else who's on Under Empire forums, actually, but he's, I don't know if he's ever put any pictures of him up there. He's got six clan rats, well, 12 clan rats. He's got some, I think he made his own shields, which is fairly easy to make a nice triangular shield. Or you can use Storm Vermin shields. They're not quite big enough to be a proper pavise, but they don't look stupid. You take the rifles off Kroot, and you take, get from 40k, you can get like a sniper, you know, like a scope to go on top from, there's loads of them about for bloody bolters and God knows what. So if you've got a 40k bits box, or you've got a mate with a 40k bits box, you can actually do a conversion that looks all right. He has two units of six, and he has six proper models and six converted models. And to be honest, until he pointed it out to me, then I was like, bloody hell, how much money have you spent on Giselles? I never realised there were conversions. So you can actually, they're definitely one of these units where there's some scope for conversions with them. But yeah, the cost of GW is bloody ridiculous.
Well, as long as you buy some of it from GW, I don't think it really matters, to be honest.
No, I don't think. Well, I mean, like, they don't. I don't go to tournaments at Warhammer World. Games Workshop don't run any tournaments now. All tournaments I go to are independent tournaments. And nobody cares. And, you know, playing with your mates, nobody cares for the conversions. And like I said, they look good enough that you can't really tell the difference anyway. And everybody's got spare clan rats.
They're everywhere.
So, yeah, Giselles, again, good, but overshadowed by other stuff. Next up in specials, Poison Wing Globardiers. 10 points each. Life is cheap, so they can throw the globes into any combat, not just against slaves.
It's good if you're tactically in a pinch against a unit of heavy armoured stuff.
Yeah.
Like a stank.
I've used them a lot against, you know, charging with slaves, and then Globardiers just put a little bit extra in. Only do one or two wounds a turn if you're lucky. But they're not so bad. Again, it's a 50-point unit. If you take a minimum-sized unit, they're only 50 points, so you don't really care if they die. And it's another chaff unit that does something rather than just dies. And I like that.
In my Skyra guide, I put that if you take five with the Bombardier, with the Death Globe, they actually become a lot more useful, as long as you don't mind that sometimes they will scatter over your stuff and annihilate your own units, because it's a template. But, yeah, I tried three units of five with Death Globes, and that is quite horrendous, really. If you get some good scatters, it is quite worthwhile doing.
Yeah, I think Death Globes are nice. You can take on Poison Wind Mortar as well with them, which is quite nice. If you are wanting to run like a Scryer heavy list, I quite like the idea that, you know, it's like a unit of clan. You probably bring Globardiers anyway because they fit in with Scryer theme. They're fluffy. They also shoot, which is always going to be nice in that sort of list. And it's a, up to half units rounded up can have an attached weapon team. So it's a cheaper way of bringing. Certainly a cheaper way of bringing one Poison Wind Mortar than buying Clan Rats.
Well, it's a good way to get a Poison Wind Mortar in if you're going the Storm Vermin Slave route, because it allows you then to add some weapons teams.
Yeah, exactly.
Which you wouldn't normally be able to get access to. And don't forget, if your Storm Vermin aren't doing well, and it looks like they're going to die anyway, then throw that Bombardier's Death Globe into there and just get them all killed. You know, as long as you take down the enemy with them, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so I think, Globardiers, it's another one that they're good, but they're overshadowed. Nice that they've got heavy armour. You don't see many skirmishes with heavy armour, so they're fairly resilient to ballistic skill shooting because it's minus one from skirmishes and then, you know, five up save against bows. Main issue is you've only got five. You only have to kill two to get them panicking, but...
Yeah, most people don't want to shoot at them, though.
No, they don't. They'd rather be shooting something else. I quite like my Globardiers. I nearly always lose them to panic tests rather than to actually get in and run out.
You in panic?
Tell me about it. It's a bane of my life is taking panic tests because you can't keep everything in the bubble. And even if you can, because we've got leadership 7. It's another argument for standard of discipline, but we'll come around to that when we come on to characters. Yeah, so that's it for specials. So, again, if you're going to rate them, what do you think, rating-wise? Top to bottom on your specials.
This is hard.
I'll tell you what, I'll go first on this one because you went first last time.
Go on, then.
So I'm going to say Gutter Runners, Plague Monks, Globardiers, Giselles, Sensors, Rat Ogres.
Well, I go slightly different from you. Gutter Runners have got to be first because they're in every army, without question. Then I'm probably going to go Giselles because not everyone likes monks. And with 36 inches, you cannot go wrong. I'll stick in the link to my Skyra guide. But I think if you play with Giselles, you get some good results. And it's quite surprising. The good results, and that was before everyone started going with the MSU units minimum size, so there's definitely some scope there. Then I'd have to go Plague Monks and then Poison Wing Globardiers, strictly based on range of effectiveness, because the Globardiers have really short range, but I do think they are good to have potting around on the back.
Still an 18 inch threat range though, because they can march and shoot, which is nice.
Yep, they can match.
One of the other things I've used, globes for, which is nice, is if you jump if you've got an engineer with a Doom Rocket or a Brass Orb, you know, he thinks he's safe because he's kind of far enough away or you're at a bad firing angle. But if you jump him out of a unit, you know, if you run your Globardiers up, you jump your engineer out of your unit. Your engineer can then move 10 inches. He can jump into your Globardiers. Once he's in the unit, he's a skirmisher. So he can march and shoot.
Yeah, that's a slightly dubious. Work with
Plague Sensors as well, and Gutter Runners. But they tend to be further away from my lines. No, that's definitely legit. When he's in the, you know, it's a skirmishing unit. If he's in a skirmishing unit, he's a skirmisher, so he can march and shoot. it's just I don't use it very often. In fact, I think I've only ever used it once, but it's just a nice little nice little something extra that they bring.
Yeah, it's worth doing. If you're going to give an engineer a Doom Rocket, and if you're going to try that, you might as well buy him a pistol as well, and then he can pepper stuff with...
Yeah, a bit of extra shooting.
Extra shooting
stuff. I mean, I never start him in there, because it makes, you know, it then makes that unit a target. You say no,
yeah, definitely.
It's true. But if you put an engineer in there and they suspect he's got a toy, then obviously they become a big target.
Mm.
But yeah, I think it's a nice little trick. I quite like that one. So, doing special, we're on to the highlight of the book, onto the rare section.
Apparently, it's the highlight of the book, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I think anybody who plays Skaven or who's played against Skaven knows where the power in the Skaven book comes from, and it's not from core, and it's not from special.
Well, I've only ever taken a help hit once, so there you go.
Yeah, so first up, help hit abomination, the A bomb, that fucking thing. I've heard several names for him. That goddamn broken piece of shit. You know, this sort of thing.
I think we should call him Lefty in honor of Skaven Ace. He's a bomb. That gets so much use.
Mine are Boris and Stumpy.
Boris. My name is Boris, in the rest of you called the bomb.
Yeah, well, it's for Boris Karloff, who were in all the vampire movies. So you kill it, and then he's, I come back from the dead.
They
very rarely get back up. I mean, we'll kind of talk through roughly what they do. So it's a big monster. It's random movement D6, strength 6, toughness 5, 6 wounds. It's weapon skill 3, but it only really matters when people are hitting him. He gets crazy close combat attacks. So yeah, he's got the, can't remember him in order. So he gets feed, which everybody in base-to-base contact with him takes a strength 6 hit, no armor saves, does D3 wounds. That's pretty nice. I especially like it when he gets enough wounds to kill something outright, because then he has quite clearly eaten it. So, yeah, sometimes he'll eat 2 or 3 Demigryph Knights, or a Scarvet, or he'll eat your opponent's general, or, you know, always amusing. That's pretty good. Obviously, that's really useful. I mean, the problem with him is he gets 3 different attacks that are kind of useful against 3 different targets, but you don't get to pick. He gets Avalanche of Flesh, which is amazing. 2d6, strength 6 hits. You can't go wrong with that. Or he gets the Flailing Fists, which is 3d6, but that's attacks rather than hits. And if he goes first, when you come to hit him back, you're at -1 to hit him. He's great, and he gets the Thunder Stomp. He's strength 6, he's got 4 regen, so he's pretty damn tough. He minces infantry all day. Whatever attack he does, he kind of munches through however many infantry you want. Love him. He's great. I've pretty much stopped taking him because there's other stuff in rare that I prefer. But
he's got regen as well. You've missed that.
He's got regen.
Not that it matters now that the world's full of fire, but you know.
Well, if you don't get it with a flaming cannon, regen's very nice. He's also got stubborn, which is pretty good. And causes terror, which doesn't really do very much because he's random movement, so he never actually charges anything. Random movement is amazing as well. You know, you get lots of people who with the cannon come up and dance around and get out your charge arcs. You're not getting out of this guy's charge arc. Don't matter if you're stood behind him, he's just going to turn around and run you over. His big weakness is if you're in an event where they're allowing railroading. So if you... there's a couple of different interpretations of how you interpret the rule for random movement and the coming within an inch. So there's an argument that some people will make that because until you've contacted them, it don't count as a charge, you can't turn him so that the turn will bring him within an inch of another unit.
Right. Can I just step in on that point? There was a nice Hitler video, which everyone really didn't like, because it mentioned certain people. But for the ETC and the ETC FAQ, because after I got creamed by demons, I begrudgingly went through things looking for an excuse for my loss. My doom wheel got railroaded, as you call it. But the ETC permits what they call a virtual pivot, which means you are allowed to move within... Yeah, so what was I saying?
Yeah, you got as far as Hitler video.
Right, okay. In the ETC official FAQ, you can virtual pivot, which means you can move in a space you would not normally be able to, as long as you are guaranteed to end your movement an inch away.
Yep.
So that kind of negates railroading a little bit.
It's a debatable point. As I kind of look at it, you know, I've looked at it and looked at it and looked at it, and I don't think that the Warhammer rulebook gives a definitive answer, basically. You can make the argument that because you come into contact, it counts as a charge and the one-inch rule don't count. You can make the argument that until it's a charge, you can't come within an inch. So...
But the elf you can take it. Doesn't declare charges. It just moves.
No. Yeah, I know. So anyway, if you're in an environment where they're allowed to railroad, it becomes less viable.
If you're in that environment, take your hardback rulebook and beat them over the head and say, it's okay because I never came within an inch of you.
Don't count as a charge. Yeah, no. It's something to be aware of. You know, it's annoying if people are allowed to do it. If they're not, then it obviously don't matter. If you play in a friendly game with your mates, I have no idea how you would resolve it. Dice it off, I guess.
It's not a friendly game. If you're doing that, it's not a friendly game.
This is true. If you're railroading people, it's not a friendly game.
If you're reinterpreting the rules in order to avoid things from moving... No, it's not a friendly game. That's being a whacker.
Yeah, I guess so. Anyway, railroading aside, is great for the points. Is a really good buy. 235 points. You can upgrade him with the spikes. It used to be fairly viable because it meant he could fight ethereal units. It's less viable now because of the Banner of the World Dragon. I never end up giving him spikes because I can never find the extra 15 points. But yeah, Helper, love him. I know you're not a massive fan, but he's great. But as I said, stop taking him. Next unit is, in my opinion, at the moment, with the stuff that's out, it's the best thing in the book. The Doom Wheel.
Yeah.
It's 4-up armor. He gets grinding down the foe, which means he does D6 impact hits when he charges, or D3 impact hits in every other round of combat, which really, really winds people up.
I've got a question for you, because this has come a few times for me, right?
Yeah.
Rolling Doom, at what point in combat is that resolved?
Is Rolling Doom is that the same as the grinding down the foe?
That is grinding down the foe, and it's called Rolling Doom.
It's got both rules in my book. As I understand, the hits that it does are impact hits, which are resolved as impact hits.
Yeah. It's just I had a funny occurrence the other day. This guy charged a chariot into my doom wheel, and with my grind...
Whose impact hits go first?
Yeah.
Simultaneous, I would say.
It was simultaneous. We both killed each other. So the doom wheel had one wound left to us. Like, oh, I'll charge my chariot and that'll finish it off. I was like, yeah, it will, but your chariot's dead.
They go before challenges, not that it matters, but that's kind of the order, is that you do impact hits, then you do challenges. He's great for that. Large target, Rolling Doom, Terror, and the real thing that it does is zap. So you roll an artillery dice, he does a shot that's the strength on the artillery dice. It hits the closest unit without regard to line of sight or terrain. So it don't matter if he's on the other side of a hill, it don't matter if he's on the other side of a building, it don't matter if he's behind you, he gets hit with
doesn't
a...
Doesn't matter if he's in combat.
Doesn't matter if he's in combat. Yeah, always hits the closest thing. I love it. It's got its downsides. The tournament I were at this weekend, in the on the top table in the last game, Skaven, I think it were up against Lisabem. The guy, because it was Swedish comp, you get really strange armies. This guy running a Vermin Lord. Vermin Lord were closest thing to his Doom Wheel. Failed to restrain his shooting, so it has to shoot unless you can make a leadership test.
Seriously?
Failed to restrain his shooting. Rolled his artillery dice, got a strength 2. Oh. Breathed a massive sigh of relief.
And then he killed him.
Rolled 2 wounds. Rolled a 6. Failed his ward save. 6 wounds on his Vermin Lord. So that is the downside. It's usually all right after turn 2. On turn 1, it can be an issue because I want my Doom Wheel out on the flanks. I want my Gutter Runners out on the flanks. I want lots and lots of things out on the flanks. And a lot of the time, that means that your Doom Wheel is going to be, certainly in turn 1 and occasionally in later turns, the closest thing to your Doom Wheel is going to be something of yours. So I quite like to run them with a Rat Dart. So the rat dart, you know, the random movement goes first. If you're not closest to one of their units, you can bring in your little bodyguarding, kind of babysitting rat dart to make sure that the closest thing to your Doom Wheel is something that you're not that bothered about getting zapped. Slave unit is better. that's the key, is don't put it next to you. I mean, I've set him up next to my Warp Lightning Cannon before now and killed my Warp Lightning Cannon because I didn't move as far as I thought I would. But it's amazing. With a decent strength roll, all the big demon princes, greater demons, monstrous cavalry, monstrous infantry. It's amazing. And it does multiple wounds D6. So what's not to love?
Yeah.
Until it kills you. I love the deal wheel. And they're 150 points. And they're strength 6 and toughness 6 with 5 wounds. So they're really difficult to kill. They're difficult to kill with small arms, fire, and poison because they've got 4 up armor save. They're just great. and you kind of think they're not that great in combat, but they are, because the turn you charge in, you've got the impact hits. And then you toughness 6. So they don't tend to do a lot of wounds back. Love my Doom Wheel.
It's a great delaying unit. I mean, the last time I played, I took 2 Doom Wheels and a cannon, and I really screwed up because my Doom Wheels rolled really low. I mean, if you talk to Phil, he'll complain because he usually says on turn 1, if you play me, my Doom Wheels charge stuff. Because I just roll that high. It really bitches about it. But what happened was I rolled mediocre for the first one and then average for the second one, and it actually happened where the closest thing to the first Doom Wheel was a Beast of Chaos. And if I killed the Beast of Chaos, I would then shoot the other Doom Wheel.
Yeah.
So I was like...
It's a run on opposite flanks, but it's certainly easily done to have them closest to each other.
Well... Beast of Chaos are that absolutely bearded that I reduced the Beast of Chaos to 1 wound, and then it sat there, which I breathed a huge sigh of relief.
Sounds about right.
Because if I'd have hit the goddamn Doom Wheel, I'd have probably killed the other Doom Wheel.
Yeah.
So, but they've always been good, and I'm really anticipating, because I know Games Workshop likes its big kits. I can really just see like Skyra specific army with a Skyra Mega Wheel.
That'd be awesome. I've seen quite a lot of conversions of Mega Wheels. People have kind of taken 2 Doom Wheel kits and a cannon kit, or 2 cannon kits and a Doom Wheel kit, and made a thing.
Yeah, there was a thing.
So obviously, there's no rules for such a thing, but it can.
There was a rule pack somewhere. There was an American tournament run by, I believe, Games Workshop HQ in America, but. I can only speculate that it was officially them, but I remember seeing a PDF floating around of this mega doom wheel and these mega cannons. And I think that's what inspired it all.
Yeah, it could well be. So I've seen the conversion a few times, and it'd be nice to have an actual unit for it. So next up in rare, Warp Lightning Cannon. 90 points. They're bloody awful. Or they're amazing. probably one of the most variable units. I don't like to take one because I kind of think you don't really pay 90 points for a decent cannon. What you do is you pay 180 points for one good cannon, because the template's fantastic. I've wrecked giant units of all sorts of stuff with it. But the random strength, obviously, you know, you get your strength of the hit is the strength on the bounce. Sometimes it's strength 10, sometimes it's strength 2. It's nice that it's always no armor saves. So it is great against, I love it against Skullcrush and Nemigriff, so kind of always my priority targets. Because even if you roll a 4, you know, 2's not, obviously a misfire or a 2's not great, but if you roll a 4, you're still generally causing some wounds, and then they all multiply up and they don't get an armor save. And it's 90 points, 30 points cheaper than Empire Cannon. They're not as good against single targets, but Doom Wheels are for single targets.
I don't know. I think you get the D6 wounds, don't you? I've took out many a single targets with a cannon.
They work. You know, they're not awful against single targets, but they're unreliable because you just don't know what. Yeah, you just don't know what strength you're going to get.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A lot of times, you know, I fired them at I used to try and have like an artillery duel. You know, if I had two cannons and they had two cannons, I got first turn, I'd shoot at their cannons, try and take their cannons out. And they're just not very good at it. You know, even if you get strength 8, you're only wounding them on a 3.
You just have to get lucky on the dice roll.
You have to get lucky. But I tend to think, forget the counter battery fire, just throw them into that unit that you can't kill with anything else. If they've got a unit, I'll throw it at the demis if I'm up against an Empire army, and I accept that his cannons are going to fire back and probably take me out.
You've just got to focus on whatever is the worst threat to you. If he's got a unit with a one-up save that you can reliably hit, then you should take out that, because there isn't a great deal in the Skaven armor that actually takes off armor. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I do like the cannon. They seem to roll a misfire. I swear my dice has got one side that has a random number on it and five sides that have misfire symbols on.
Yeah. We should play. I'll show you how it's done. You can go, oh my god, you got so much artillery, I'm going to win by default. And I'll go, yeah, all right.
The misfires are not bad, actually, with the Warp Lightning Cannon. It's one of the only reasons it stays in is kind of the Plague Claw Catapult misfires are awful. I hate that they get to place the template.
From when it goes a random number of inches in a random direction and results over your general's bunker.
I'm usually all right with that. It's rare. I have killed my Hellpit with that. But it's one of the better misfires because it does have to go in the wrong direction.
Hopefully.
Yeah, so I like the Warp Lightning Cannon. I think if it was same points as a Doom Wheel, they wouldn't be worth taking, but I think for 90 points, the cheapest chips, absolute bargain. Why wouldn't you take one? And the last thing is Plague Claw Catapult. 100 points, it's big pie plate, strength 2, no armor saves, and if you cause a wound, you cause a panic test. In theory, it's nice. In practice, you don't get that many big blocks with heavy armor.
I don't think it matters.
And the misfire chart's awful.
All misfire charts are awful. You don't misfire. There is no misfire. Misfire is a myth.
Oh, I wish that were true. I so wish that were true.
It is true. You need to have faith.
Yeah, we were talking to someone the other day, and he says his tactic with him. So on the misfire, the kind of most likely result is that your opponent can place the template wherever he wants within 3d6 of your aiming point. So his theory is you fire at the units out on the flanks. It's not a unit for killing big units. It's for causing panic tests. I think used like that, I can definitely see if basically, you know, average roll on 3d6 is about 10 inches. Biggest is 18. If you aim kind of 15 inches or more away from any of your units,
yeah,
then you're probably going to be all right on the misfire because he won't be able to put it over your general's unit.
And plague. That's what you should do. You should be aiming to get away from your army because. Yeah. The perks of the player core catapult is that there's no saves against it and that it causes panic. I've done it before. Someone's put three Demicryphs out on a corner to protect a cannon, and I was like, oh, that's like 2 foot away from his general. I was like, I need one wound to his multi-wound model.
Yeah.
So I really upset that guy when I informed him that his 12... wound units took a single wound and now they were panicking. They ran off the board, panicked the cannon. The cannon couldn't fire that turn. I was like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah, no, I think that is the way to use them. I rarely do. I can see in like comp tournaments, if you want to do a shooting list and you're playing in an event where they say you can only bring one cannon, I can kind of see the benefit of a player called Catapult.
Two catapults are good, especially if you're going plague heavy, because if you get wither on something,
I suppose it synergizes incredibly well with wither. The main problem with that is to get wither off, you've got to be within 12 inches.
Yeah, that's the crunch. If you've got wither off a couple of times, it's worth firing it, because if their toughness 2, and your toughness 3 or 4, you know, then. Yeah, it's worth doing because
I can see that if you do get to be 12 inches away, so in the turn you do it, you kind of move up, so you're 11¾ inches away with your bunker unit.
Well, just put your
fire off the plague, yeah, and then you put the pipelate towards the back of their unit. They've actually got to move it.
Yeah,
if it does misfire, they're not going to be able to put it in the middle of your unit, which I think there's definitely something in that. I've never used one. I mean, this is all theory hammer from my...
How dare you?
I've got two warp lightning cannon kits, and I want 2 warp lightning cannons.
Yeah, but everyone makes shifts a catapult. That's the great thing about them. They're all custom jobs, so it adds to the fluff and the flavour. I do think if you take a seer and you go plague heavy, why not put him in the playmonks? If it bounces back, you know, it's sixes to wound. So
yeah, can see that.
Trust me, Chris. Sometimes these really win when you face that moron who puts an heavily armored unit out on the far flank, and you cause a single wound to his multi-wound model, and then you inform him that he now has to take a panic chest. He goes, show me in book. I ain't doing it till you show me. You show him, and he goes, "Oh, for fuck's sake!"
I had something the other day when I was running a mock with my Doom Wheel, and he was like, "Give me a book. I want to know what that thing does. Like, you must be making some of this stuff up." Yeah. Like, no, honestly.
Yeah, they treat us like we're orcs or something. They're like, you must be lying. It can't be.
To be honest, there's so many rules in Skaven Book. I mean, I love to wind people up. And they'll say, "I'll charge your cannon." You say, "Okay, I'll stand and fire with my grape shot." And they're like, "It does what?" Like, kidding.
I always just stand and shoot.
Everybody falls for it.
I think we all just did the same thing. We all just wind them up so we get annoyed. I mean, last time I played I played that Slaanesh Demons, yeah? He ran his Greater Kipper of Secrets into a unit, so I just marched my Globadiers up, and he's like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "I'm going to shoot your Kipper." And he went, "Well, you can't do that. I'm in combat with clan rats." And he's like, "I don't care." And
he was like, "Show me. Clan rats. Show me. Why does that bother me?"
So I spent half a game showing him my book, and it was just like, "Yeah, I can do it."
Demons have got no cause for complaint because their book ignores most of the rules of Warhammer.
Oh, they don't take proper break tests.
They don't take proper panic tests. Like, Yeah, their book's as bent as our book is.
Their book's terrible, man. I'm really hoping that they redo The Undead soon and give them the same instability. They were all snake eyes, and then he gets everyone back. What bullshit world is this we live in? You know what I mean? I mean, I understand that things work a different way and certain things, but from a business perspective, I can see him redoing Undead and Undead being like, "Boah, I'm back," you know, and then you will really see hordes of skeletons and zombies and stuff because they'll just take forever to grind through them. No one will complain about Slayers when that happens. It'll just be like, "Oh my god, the Undead."
Yeah, oh no, Undead will be a nightmare, actually. I can, you know, horde of 50 zombies, and if you can't crumble them as zombies, oh god, they would be hard work. Yeah, if the Necromancer kind of, you know, focuses all his will on keeping that unit reanimated, it does seem a little bit daft that they can just fall over dead. So, what about a ranking for stuff in the rare category?
Well, for me, quite clear, isn't it? It's the way it is on the page. So it's Doom Wheel, World Lightning, Cannon, a Bomb, Play Core Catapult. Because I took in a bomb once and he cried, and that were it. That was my entire voyage into a bombness. I've never taken one. Don't need him. Pile of crap.
I don't think the crap, but I would agree. I'd go for the same. I'd go for ranking them the same. Doom Wheel, Cannon, A Bomb, Catapult.
The thing is, with it only being toughness 5, there are so many things around that are strength 5.
Yeah.
And now fire is absolutely everywhere.
Yeah, they're nice, but they're too easy to kill, really. Unless your opponent can't deal with them, and then you just run over his entire army.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the beauty of them, is sometimes you can bring one and everybody else might as well have stayed in bed that morning. But most of the time, they just get focus fired out of existence. Biggest reason to bring one is if you're bringing a Screaming Bell, because they'll focus everything on the helmet before they start focusing on your bell. But you know, they're a nice unit. They're not the best thing in the book.
Well, if they do that, they're stupid. So that's just my comment. But there you go. Right, so
so we've still got characters to go.
That's the end. I think we should do the magic items. Magic items matter more than characters. So,
well, what I were going to suggest is we've got a good couple of hours done. I'm not sure how much of that we're going to lose because of core quality. But maybe keep characters and magic items for next time. Or maybe we'll go through unit banners. We're back going through unit banners and such, and then maybe doing another recording on a day when we're not getting broken off every 15 minutes because it's driving me up the fucking wall now.
Yeah, I don't know what that's all about, but
so all right, and go through the banners, wrap up.
Yeah, if you want to go through the banners, and we'll just have a minor talk, and we'll do like a part two if you want next week or something, and then we'll,
yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, keep it throwing. So magic banners, where do you want to start on that particular?
Let's have a look. Where are we on for magic banners? Yeah, so we said originally you can only have three, and then there's a few. I think it's just the one who has to be on your BSB. So Sacred Standard of the Horned Rat is 70 points. So it's 50 points worth of magic banners on the Storm Vermin and the Plague Monks, and then unlimited on your BSB. So there's Sacred Banner of the Horned Rat. All enemy units within 12 inches of this banner suffer -1 penalty to their leadership, and the owning player can make enemy units in base contact with the bearer of this banner reroll any successful leadership tests. It's nice, but as I said earlier, I like to gear my BSB up for defense. I don't actually want him in base contact with another unit.
Yeah, this is the defining point of this banner. I really wish that this was 50 points so that we could put it on a unit, because I love this banner. This banner, where is it? Portent of Venomous Doom is awesome. Yeah, and I've used this banner to that effect before, but you do have to be in base contact with him, which is a real fucking drawback.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's that banner particularly.
Yeah, so Storm Banner probably. Well, we've got two banners out of the Skaven book that compete for the best banner. So Storm Banner, one use only. The banner can be activated at the beginning of any player's turn. No flying movement is allowed across the entire battlefield. Missile fires at -2 to hit. All non-magical missile attacks that don't use BS to hit their target need to roll a 4+ on a D6. So it's been FAQ'd or errated now that it's magical shooting is still affected. So all non-ballistic skill shooting needs to roll 4+ before it can shoot.
Yeah.
Roll a D6 at the beginning of the following player turn. The effects of the banner will end on a D6 roll of a 4+. So you get one turn guaranteed where their ballistic skill shooting is garbage and only half their cannons fire. Or each cannon only has a 50-50 chance of firing. But it can go on several turns. But I love it. I mean, it's great if you run in any of your big monster type stuff because it stops them getting shot at. It's great against units. I mean, I particularly like it against elves. Anybody with a lot of ballistic skill shooting, -2 to hit, on top of any other modifiers for cover, range, movement. You know, everybody's on sixes at best, more likely sevens. Just wrecks ballistic skill shooting, which is great. And I absolutely love the flyers thing as well. The number of people, you know, people will fly something up, and then in their turn, they're going to jump over your units or charge something at the back. And you just say, nope, that's staying exactly where it is. Some stuff it's great against, you know, Pterodons, Discs of Zinch, because they're movement one. Against Demon Princes and Pegasuses, it's good, but it's not as good because they've still got a high movement. But yeah, I think the no flying is very underrated.
Screamers,
and we don't have any flying.
Screamers are movement one as well.
Yeah, Screamers. I think Fury's a pretty naff movement. There's a lot of stuff that if it can't fly, it's not walking very far.
Okay. Yeah, well, my point on that is I would never take the Storm Banner. Because whenever I take it, it always lasts at least 3 rounds. At which point, it's really fucked me up.
Yeah, that's the. I mean, obviously, the big issue with it is if it lasts into our turn, it affects us as well, which is annoying. But it's quite list dependent. If you're running a lot of stuff that's very vulnerable to shooting, you know, if you're running like 2 A bombs and a Screaming Bell. Then it's kind of crazy not to put Storm Banner in. If you're running 2 cannons, 2 Doom Wheels, and don't really have any other big targets, then you probably don't need it, or it's probably not worth the risk. But yeah, I like Storm Banner. I don't take it in every game, but I definitely like it. So we've got another few banners. I think we can probably just touch on these because they're not that great. There's the Banner of Clan Superiority, which adds... Yeah, it adds a D3 to your combat result rather than 1, which means if you roll a 1 or a 2, it's only adding 1 anyway. So that's not that great. 30 points. Shredded Dripping Death. Anybody in base contact with a bearer takes strength 3 hit with no armor save. And anybody who pursues you if you break suffers some hits. It's not bad.
It's actually... pretty good against units with 1 up armor save.
Yeah, that's...
If you can reform your unit after, you see, usually most people charge a unit line. If you go to the extra effort of saying you're going to reform to reshuffle your unit and put your BSB so he's touching 2 of these cavalry dudes if they're on big bases.
Yeah.
To make sure you get 2 strength 3 hits with no saves allowed, this can be pretty good to chew through 1 up armor.
Probably better. I think it's probably better on a unit standard than your BSB.
Definitely.
It's better against cavalry rather than monstrous cavalry because at least you've got a chance of killing 2 and they're only usually toughness 3. But it should in theory kill sort of 1 knight or 1, you know, ordinary cavalry model a turn. It's all right, but it's not great.
Yeah.
Banner of the Under Empire, 25 points. Units in base contact take 2d6 strength 2 automatic hits. Distributed shooting. It's all right. Again,
this one's not too bad.
We've got better ones.
If you're gonna hide your BSB, this one's pretty good because it's all units in base contact with the unit bearing the banner. So you can be in the middle of the back rank, and if you're attacking 3 or 4 units, this is actually pretty solid. But it is very dependent. It's not a good situation to be in. If you're under attack by multiple units, chances are things aren't going your way anyway.
I've kind of dropped it, and I doubt I'll bring it back. I used it on my BSB for a while because I had him in the Bell unit. He was never in the front rank. But it's... For the points, it's not bad. But again, there's better things I can put on my BSB. Dwarf 5 banner, units on this banner gains hatred of dwarves, and all dwarves hate them. Actually better than it used to be, because dwarves now all hate Skaven anyway, so there's not actually a downside to taking this banner, and it gives you hatred against them. Pretty nice, if you had any Storm Vermin. This is more for playing against dwarves. I wouldn't put it in an all-comers list.
Tailoring.
But yeah, if I knew I were playing dwarves, and I were tailoring my list to face dwarves, then it'd be in. Although more likely my Storm Banner would be in, so I still might not end up taking it. But it's for 15 points, it's not bad. And it's good if you're against dwarves. Banner of Erminis Scurrying, 10 points, and for one turn only, you can march triple your movement instead of double, and you take 2d6 strength, 3 hits. It's all right. I tried this one again for a while, and basically I've ended up dropping it because I prefer the Banner of Swiftness. I'd rather have, I'd rather march an extra 2 inches every turn with no downside.
Yeah.
Match an extra 5 inches on one turn with a massive downside.
It's only really good for that critical fleeing moment. I'd agree with you. I don't really think it's worth it. We have actually skipped a banner from the Tools of Supremacy. If you go back to page 107, in the common magic items, War Banner is actually cheaper for us than other races.
I've never noticed that.
Have you been taking it more expensive? Well, I usually...
I never take it.
I usually take the War Banner on the Storm Vermin because it's an extra point of combat res and it's 10 points cheaper. So that's... Static res is a good thing for Skaven.
Yeah,
irrespectively.
I think so, you'd probably be daft to take the... If you get a War Banner for 25 points, I think that definitely means that there's not a right lot of point in taking the Banner of Clan Superiority for 30 points.
Yeah, it just invalidates it even more, doesn't it? Because it's you're on plus 5, 3 ranks, a standard, the War Banner, solid plus 5 versus whatever you're fighting, irrespective. I do like the Arm Piercing Banner and Storm Vermin, but the reality of the situation is that not every army has heavy armoured units. So
we've got one more Skaven-specific banner, and then we'll kind of go on to the rulebook ones. So there's the Clan Pestilence Befouled items. We get the Plague Banner. So that only goes on Plague Monk units, and one use only for the remainder of the phase. All Plague Monk models in the unit reroll fail to hit rolls and fail to wound rolls. And it's 30 points. That's a no-brainer to me on Plague Monks.
It takes them from being an average unit to be absolutely autumn. And not only that, if your opponent is stupid enough to let you cast poison attacks on that Plague Monk unit, and then you're re-rolling, I've had people cast my Asmar on my Plague Monks, and I've just gone, oh, you're going to lower my weapon skill, so I need 5s, are you? And I'm just there thinking, I can get poison off in my turn. And then it's like you're really not helping yourselves, guys. Yeah, it's. I have had buckets of poison attacks against these guys, and it is ridiculously good. The Plague Banner just takes them from being, like you say, average to being above average. And if you play ETC comp, the current comp is that the Plague Banner affects any character who belongs to the clan.
I think absolute rules as written, it probably doesn't affect plague priests.
No. Rules as written, it says plague monk models.
Yeah, and I don't think that he is a plague monk. So
neither is the furnace, technically. So it's one of those.
No, it's the riders on the furnace are plague monks.
Yeah, but they're not plague monk models. This is the thing you get into. This is
The
drawbacks of playing Skaven. It's the stupid wording.
The bad wording. But yeah, even if it, I mean, if it affects your priest as well, Jesus Christ. If not, it's still good. So I mean, that's all the Skaven ones. The rulebook ones. So there's the Razor Standard. Pretty useless on monks. Because if stuff's got a 1-up save, it goes to a 2-up. They're rolling a 2-up anyway. On Storm Vermin, it's all right. It's not brilliant, but it takes 1-ups to 3-ups. At least it means if you've got enough Storm Vermin, you will grind through 5 knights in less than the whole game.
I take it on Queek Vermin, but with the extra bonus to the War Banner, with it being 10 points cheaper for Skaven, I think the War Banner is better, personally.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Static 5 is for an extra 25 points is brilliant.
Yeah, I think I can definitely see the War Banner. The other one I like is the Banner of Discipline. Makes a lot of issues. Again, it's quite situational. So while I was talking about kind of Globadiers, Giselles, there are quite a lot of units that I said the good, but the leadership and the fact that you don't get any strength in numbers lets them down. The Standard of Discipline really helps with that because it puts your basic leadership up to an 8. Push your general's leadership up to an 8 rather than a 7. So you're kind of getting into a lot more likely to pass it than fail it territory. Whereas on 7, it's almost 50-50.
Well, if you're taking special characters, which we don't do, but if you take Queek, he's 8 anyway. So with the leadership standard, he's 9. He loves fighting in Horde because he really doesn't care. So it's solid all the way through.
I think the Standard Discipline is definitely a good choice. What else is the good out of the basic rule book? Like I say, I've been using the Banner of Swiftness a lot. I quite like the extra movement that gives you, and that's nice and cheap. I think that's about it. I mean, there's a few others I can kind of see being situationally useful. The Gleaming Pennant, you could kind of have a Storm Vermin unit with a cheap Warlord and run them out on a flank and have your Gleaming Pennant for a single reroll, but it's so situational that it's just never going to be worth it.
Terror is okay, but it's a lot to invest. We don't actually have anything that modifies base leadership on like a lot of other races. The Wailing Banner can be quite good for races that can modify your leadership.
Yeah, I can see that. So I think that's probably about it for Magic Standards. As I say, the big issue is that we only get 3. And Plague Monks get the Plague Banner. BSB is kind of... depends on your playstyle. I nearly always give him a ward save and put him in units of magic resistance. So it's kind of what banner is going to go on Vermin. So there's a lot of good choices.
Yeah, there's 18 banners, of which we can field 3. So is there any wonder that there isn't a great divergence of banners? I haven't counted the monk one either. So there's 19 banners,
right?
Of which we can field 3.
Yeah, so I think what we said we're going to do. We've gone on quite a long time with this, so we're going to run through characters and magic items that characters can take next time.
Right. So if you weren't aware, we've been having a couple of technical difficulties throughout this pod, and towards the end, it has actually had a massive brain dump on us, and I've lost quite a bit of the end conversation. We were kind of going off topic, so we can always cover it in part 2, which we'll be doing for next month. So I just want to say thanks to Chris for putting up with the massive technical headache that we were having. Hopefully it's not his internet and it was just a hiccup, and we'll be all fine for next month. So I'm just going to answer a question. Someone asked me about the view on the display boards, and since I'm not really much of a painty person, I imagine he doesn't really think I'm going to say much about this, but I just think display boards are a pretty good idea. I don't think we've got many, if any, on the Under Empire. But basic premise really comes from a diorama, I think. It's like when you had a couple of models arranged in such a way so that they are actually on like a stand, and basically people have embraced this and got a display board which is like a 1,000-point army laid out on a 2x2 and displayed in such a way that you can also carry them around. And some tournaments actually do specific display board events where you get points in the tournament for doing it. And I think it's pretty good. If you can get a piece of 2x2 and fit them in, it'd be really interesting to see some Skaven ones, because I think you're going to struggle to get your entire army in a piece of 2x2, usually, unless you've gone absolutely mental with toys. But they are pretty solid and an ever-growing part of the hobby. So, yeah, we should really have a look at trying to encourage some people to do some on the Under Empire, really. It isn't something I think everyone would be particularly interested in, but I do think it's a nice way to transport your army, because some of the ones I've seen, it's like a display board that's actually magnetised, so it holds your models physically to it, and in some ways, because the terrain is sculpted around the bases and the units, it is a much sturdier method of transporting your models than some cases that I've seen. So yeah, that's my quick thing on display boards. So I do like them. I think it's a good idea if you've got the time, patience and effort. I mean, I haven't even managed to set my army out properly yet, so there we go. So I'm just going to do an outro, which is a Game of Thrones rap song. It is a bit explicit, so if you're a bit against that kind of thing, you might want to turn off now. If not, you were warned. It's a bit of a catch-up on the Game of Thrones series, and it's just really because it's coming back on next month, I thought I'd put it on for anyone who wants to have a listen. Alright, cheers guys, and hopefully we'll catch you next time, and we'll not have any technical difficulties, hopefully, fingers crossed. See ya!
Welcome to King's Landing, a city of kings and whores where anything can happen.
Yeah, it's quite right.
Do be careful, because shit's about to get real.
Well, I'm the fucking king! Probably wrathy and wrathful and nasty. When I drop the fucking hammer, evade like a pathogen. Now give me 3 horse so I can smack that ass again. And build a bigger orphanage to put all my bastards in. My wife's a brother, fucked her in a straight up bitch. Who gave me 3 blonde chicks? But her daddy's rich. Wine! All this arse look is making me sick. I think the gods and a boar put a toss through my pancreas.
I just sit in my first DNA.
It's a sadistic piece of shit.
You better say that I'm the king, or I'll chop off your head. I'll put your genitals in the genital jar and keep in a drawer beside my bed.
Grace?
Yes, give her a gift, hit her in the face. Women are so weak and weary. Bring her back when she has her period. Burn the traitors, crush the north, kill the babies, fuck the poor. I'm so bored with cutting out tongues, but I'm getting a dumb mutilating horse.
Is this yours?
Yes, it is.
Talk about killing, I love that shit. Stabbing, hacking, boiling guts.
Hold on,
I'm about to jizz.
Sadly, I cannot.
No jizz, quite right.
The source will cut off your junk. We know, at least it wasn't your head. Poor Ned Stark, what will the north do?
My jizz is like baking soda.
The Stark Bannerman?
Are they so fucking happy?
All hail, King of the North, Robb Stark!
Yeah, yeah! We fight for independence, it's a glorious day. Cause I'm married for love, and it's cool with the phrase. Yeah, we're heading to a wedding, gonna party today. And I'm gonna be a dad, God, everything's great!
Winter is coming.
So we'll hang out inside.
With Winterfell run down, Robb.
Look on the bright side. Let me hear my Starks, are we doing alright?
Bob is dead, we're homeless, and I'm crippled for life.
I'm hungry.
I'm alone in the
the K-word, but I married the dwarf.
Oh, see, that's what I'm talking about. We're having a ball.
I'm gonna breastfeed Robin until my breasts fall off.
Yay!
Brienne, how's it going with the Kingslayer?
Rafe is happy and I'm fighting the bad.
Cool, how's it hanging, Theon?
Really bad.
I met a lady who had demons in her bed.
We are the North Side, doing it our own way.
Hey, it's my boy Jon Snow. What up, Jon?
Hello. Got a bit of a problem at the wall. It's a bit nippy, and
this fucking white walk!
Shit's crazy, I'm freezing to death with thieves and rapists. That is where I'm sexed. If I can take it back, I take the black. Shove it up past the map, it's too late for that. But now I'm surgeon south.
I'm out.
I'm gonna die a virgin now. It's a world day. There's a wild woman, took me into a cave, got undressed.
So breasts?
Yeah, we had cave sex.
Cave sex?
Yeah, cave sex.
You knew where to put it.
Seven Hells.
Who is that?
It's the Targaryen girl.
Sound the alarm.
She's come to take back the Seven Kingdoms.
Well, it's more like six kingdoms now.
Hide me with the children.
You know, since we succeeded.
I'm coping.
You should take the other six.
Shut up, John.
What up?
We're metal shit.
I got dragons, bitch. I started out with nothing but a shitty older brother in a penthouse penthouse. I got pimped out to a Dothraki warlord with a horde full of slave taking thugs, fucking like dogs in public. Queen of the savages, got three dragon eggs, ate a horse heart, took it down, didn't throw up. Got knocked up, but I mistakenly traded in the fate of the baby and put my hubby in a coma. Smothered his ass, built a funeral pile, took the blood magic witch, burned the bitch alive, climbed inside and fried eggs a while. From the ash came a naked ass and three reptiles. Touching my kids, better ask me, I'm the mother of dragons, yeah, free, yeah, that free. You better come at me with more than a manticore if you wanna blast me.
Khaleesi.
You got a dirty mouth, so you best sit down before I